Hi, welcome to the Neurobiopsy Podcast. I'm Audrey. This is a podcast where you will learn one type of neurological disease per episode, and it will be in alphabetical order. I will talk about its history as well as the cause and mechanism, and end it with the key cell or tissue that has been extracted for today's podcast biopsy. Now we're on letter D today. We're going to take a look at Dandy-Walker syndrome, or DWS. I don't know about you guys, but I have not heard about this syndrome before. So be ready to join me on this journey of learning about Dandy-Walker syndrome. Dandy-Walker syndrome is an inborn neurological defect involving malformations in the cerebellum, which is the brain section that is in charge of movement, as well as affecting the ventricles, which are the fluid-filled cavities around the cerebellum. Following our pod's tradition, let's start the episode with its history and origin. This condition was named after United States neurosurgeons Walter Dandy and Arthur Walker. Walter Dandy, a neurosurgeon, observed a 13-month female infant with enlarged ventricles and abnormal cerebellum caused by a cyst, or a fluid-filled sac. Although the patient died 2 months later, Dandy noticed there was serious fluid buildup known as the hydrocephalus during the autopsy. The cyst mentioned earlier was found to disrupt the flow of cerebrospinal fluid and swell the brain. Dandy concluded that the fluid buildup was due to the absence of the anatomical channels of the fourth ventricle called foramina of Magendie and Lushka, and thus losing the ability to drain the excess spinal fluid. Furthermore, Arthur Walker also noted this condition in his study and added that the partial absence of the cerebellar vermis was a symptom of the congenital brain defect. Because of these two scientists' contributions, this disease was termed as the Dandy-Walker syndrome, characterized by the hydrocephalus caused by anomalies of the fourth ventricle and blockage of foramina. DWS is a rather rare disorder. Approximately 1 in 35,000 live births is diagnosed with the malformation, and the incidence was found to affect females more than males. The estimated mortality rate was found to be between 12 to 50%. To understand Dandy-Walker syndrome, we need to learn its key features. Well, okay, so we got the enlargement of the fourth ventricle, which allows the fluid to flow between the brain and spinal cord, the absence of the area between the two cerebellar hemispheres, or cerebellar vermis, as well as the cyst formation near the skull. This condition is mainly caused by the increase in the size of blocked fluid and the pressure that comes with it imposed against the brain cerebellum. Now I will go ahead and explain the existing studies about the mechanism and etiology of this condition. What we discussed before was the commonly believed etiology of Dandy-Walker syndrome. However, recent studies suggest that it is also resulting from developmental abnormalities that influence the roof of the rhombocephalon. Big word, huh? That is essentially the hindbrain. And this would lead to various degrees of cystic enlargement that further pressures the brain. Two mechanisms can initiate the Dandy-Walker malformation. The disruption of the vermian development and the failure of fourth ventricle foramina fenestration leading to the compression of the vermis. This disorder can stand alone or associate with other diseases and chromosomal abnormalities including Mendelian disorders, central nervous system disorders, neural tube defects, other infections and malformations, etc. Symptoms of the Dandy-Walker syndrome in infancy include continued enlargement of the skull and slow motor development due to the compression of the cerebellum. As the disease progresses in older children, symptoms may begin to develop into cerebellar dysfunction, such as lacking muscle coordination and jerky eye movements, as well as irritability and vomiting. Other physical features include increasing head size and problems with nerves that control face and eyes, and also abnormal breathing patterns. As usual, I looked into a clinical case to help us gain a better perspective of the disease. In this case presentation, the patient is a Chinese girl with persistent neonatal hypoglycemia and Dandy-Walker variant in two epigenetic modifier genes responsible for Kabuki syndrome, a condition of cardinal manifestations of facial features. There was a single mutation in one of the modifier genes and reflected a common association between Dandy-Walker condition with other brain disorders. In order to treat Dandy-Walker syndrome, researchers need to target the associated problems as well, since most patients show symptoms with intracranial pressure due to the cyst and hydrocephalus. Treatment often intends to control it through a surgical procedure known as shunt, which drains the excess brain fluid to reduce swelling. Shunt surgery often includes ventricular peritoneal (VP) or cystoperitoneal (CP). Parents are suggested to take genetic counseling if they have children with Dandy-Walker syndrome. Ultrasound and MRI are both very helpful imaging techniques which assess the fetal brain. Ultrasound can evaluate the head circumference, and the imaging may also demonstrate central nervous system abnormalities found in Dandy-Walker syndrome. MRIs are usually applied after the 20th week of gestation by evaluating the malformations not seen in the ultrasound. Overall, today we discussed Walter Dandy and Arthur Walker with their findings about Dandy-Walker syndrome, the cystic enlargement as the key feature of the disease, as well as the motor abilities induced by this disorder. In today's episode, we examined the fourth ventricle and the foramina of the brain cerebellum for our biopsy. That's all I have for this episode. Thank you for tuning in. Make sure to rate the view and subscribe. You can find future episodes on Spotify. Thanks again for listening. Bye.